Okay, so now so we started Moshe's Tshuva yesterday. Now, the second paragraph is where he makes what I said is a very novel move, which is that if you remember, the Rambam in Parakuf Aleph Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Isuribia introduces what prohibition?
Isuribia.
Parakuf Aleph Halacha Aleph of Isuribia.
Yeah, you cannot. It lists all the forbidden.
Which ones? Let's be careful. Halacha Aleph. The first halacha he starts off is what?
I don't know.
Was all the where you're touching derech type of bia, right? All those.
Any embrace.
Halacha bet, right? And he says for that's biblically prohibited. Then in halacha bet he introduces all the other things.
It gets a little vulgar. Like you can't
right?
smell the perfume or stare.
And all that stuff. And he says you get makas mardus, right? Which is rabbinic lashes. Now we saw that the Magen Mishnah says that why do you get rabbinic lashes and not biblical lashes?
Magen Mishnah is in Rambam.
Magen Mishnah is the one of the earliest commentaries we have on the Rambam.
Okay,
right? We saw this already. What did the Magen Mishnah say? Why do you... Good, right? That wasn't so complicated, right? The Magen Mishnah said, why do you get rabbinic lashes for these? Because it's not biblical. Right?
Yeah, that's...
Ramosha denies this, and this is where we saw this line, but now let's see it. He says, "Umuchrachin lomar." This is the second paragraph. The mashikasev a Rambam alacha bet va'aser la'adam likros biyadav aragla v'lirmos be'enav la'achad min arayz la'sachekim la'hakel rosh afil arich b'samim shalal la'habit biyafya. And all those things: don't flirt, don't smell her perfume. That stuff. Aser shezel gam ken mi da'araisa. It's biblical. So now he has a problem, right? If it's biblical, why don't you get biblical lashes? So he says, because it's passive, or not passive, it's not considered an action, right? Smelling is not enough of an action, flirting is not enough of an action, winking is not enough of an action, right? In halacha, yes.
I think it's just a mindset. It's not the action.
Yeah, presumably,
Rambam
right?
Says that at the end, like it's
something
really,
like
your
that.
Your mindset needs to be clear,
right? Something like that. He says Ibra. He notes that he's against the Magen Mishnah. Now that's a big deal, by the way, right? The being against the Magen Mishnah is not like a little thing, right? There are hundreds of commentaries in the Rambam, but the earliest, right? Well, not the earliest, but one of the earliest. The Ravid is not really a commentary, right? The Ravid is older than the Rambam. He just got it at the end of his life and sort of just wrote some comments on it. But running commentary, whatever, one of the earliest, right? There are a few earlier, but fine. He's pretty early, right? Magen Mishnah is a Talmud of the Rajba, right? We're talking like, right, pretty early, or maybe Talmud of the Rajba, I forget exactly how it works. He says, okay, the Magen Mishnah is a Sham, v'yesh v'dor, me'il makas mardus kaya B'chol iser shumi duvrayim. He says the reason you get rabbinic lashes because it is derabanan. Abal omochach lomar shumi d'oraisa ki the cause of Aran, ki the cause of Shachla b'Shmuel. But he denies it based on the Ran, the way he understands the Shachla b'Shmuel.
I disagreed in the beginning. Rabbinic lashes not because rabbinic.
That's exactly what he says. He says he disagrees with the Magen Mishnah. He says I understand him against the Magen Mishnah, but I think I'm right. Shulchein tzarach lomar didvarm shechashiv. Balachabet, who rags varamshu osip beatzmo, shehilo asta klum. And then he makes a very, right, he says, let me explain why this is true. Because these are things that the man does without the woman's participation. Right? Right? The creepy guy, you know. Ha! You know, that, right? The woman's like, sure. Right? Whatever you just did. Right? Shehu may riach b'samim shaleh umabit b'yafyav chinkar b'yadav raglav romiz b'enav, right? Because he's smelling her perfume, winking, right? Gesturing. V'chein mistakel yonos b'mena, and obviously staring at her. Now, again, what we're going to see next week is that there may be a different set of prohibitions, right? Moshe is wrapping everything up together, right? We're going to see that there are shitot who are going to suggest that looking at a woman sexually is biblically prohibited, even though touching her might be permitted. Right? Right?
So if you're blind.
Touching her not sexually.
Well, according to the Rambam, yes. But there are people who are going to argue that even according to the Ramban, that even sexual touching is usher only midirabanan. improper thoughts, right? Because of thoughts.
Assuming the sexual touch.
Correct. Obviously, correct. Assuming it generates thought, right? So Rav Moshe is not accepting that, right? Rav Moshe is assuming that there is not an independent prohibition of improper thoughts that may be at play here. Now, that's important, right? Because, why is this important? I want to be very careful. This is where Rav Moshe is. We'll see, many postmen are not going to agree with this assessment. Because he's playing with it here. He's assuming that anything which is usher sexually must be under loktikravu. And if it's under loktikravu, it's arguably abuzrayu d'arayos. But probably something which is derived from a different pasuk, a mishmartu kol davara, right? That might not be abuzrayu d'arayos, right? It might be usher, right? But it might not be abuzrayu because it's not from the same pasuk.
What's abuzrayu?
Abuzrayu is the Ron's Lashon of subsidiaries of the big three.
Oh.
Right? So the improper thought may be, it might not be Abuzrayu, because it might. Right? You could say that conceptually it's still related, but it's not derived from the Pasuk, right? So it might be an independent Isser, which doesn't carry a hard value. However, Moshe is blurring that line. Right? And we'll see many poskim.
Most of these cases aren't even adultery.
No, correct. But we're going to say that there are poskim, we're going to argue that even the Ramban, who thinks that sexual touching is not d'araisa, will think that improper thoughts are d'araisa. Right? Now, if that's the case, right, it does seem to say it's a standalone Isser, which is at some level divorced from Arai. What? No, the Ramban doesn't weigh in explicitly in that point, but we'll see that has some are going to interpret it. No. Rav Moshe says yes, but puts it under loktikravu, right? In this tshuva, and again, we're going to see Rav Moshe himself. Rav Moshe himself is not going to be this. Is not going to be clear about it. No, it is. That's exactly his point. Well, not necessarily the thoughts, but all these prohibitions, which are really about thought, right? Meaning they're not sexual acts. They're things that are make what we call megari yetzirhara, right? They provoke the yetzirhara. Rav Moshe is including them not only biblically against the Magen Mishnah, but he's including them biblically under Lotikravu. Right? Even though the Rambam ostensibly said the Lotikravu is only sexual touch, Rav Moshe is including these non-touch prohibitions, A, in the biblical category, and B, under Lotikravu. Right? You can argue in two ways. You can either say it's not biblical, like the Magen Mishnah, or you can say it is, but maybe it's a different issue of of Nishmarat Mikol Davara, which we'll see next week, right? Which, again, are related, but they may not be as intrinsically linked to a riot enough to make it hard about Yavor. Rav Moshe is making a very specific argument that not only biblically prohibited, but they are derivatives biblically of Losikravu.
He's not saying the thoughts are biblically derivative.
No, not thoughts. But all these things which ostensibly were, you should have dragged into the thought category, Rav Moshe pulls back into the action category.
So, did you say the Magen Mishnah is learning that as derabatans off the thought prohibition or sikravu?
So the Magen Mishnah seems to think they're derabatans of losikravu.
Losikravu.
Right? Right. That seems to be the Magen Mishnah's argument, right? That they are, right? Because that's why it's halacha bet after losikravu. Right? Rav Moshe is dragging them to the daraisa, even though it could be that they're derabatan losikravu, but if they call it machshava, maybe they're daraisa under whatever, losasuru or whatever. Again, I'm saying that. Whatever it is, not because I don't know, but because I have so far have a 10-page Makarov sheet prepared for next week, right? I may cut it down, but at first I had it cut down, then I decided to uncut it down, and now I've just added. So we'll see.
You know what? What's a chatzi shir?
We did this.
I did.
Yes. Chatzi shir, half of a prohibition, right? Like half a gazayas of pig. And here we noted that this is different because it seems to be a qualitative rather than quantitative one.
It's a Ramban, yeah, because Ramban says that.
No, the Ramban brings it as one of three.
No, meaning the touching case could be a rabbinical prohibition.
We spent like 45 minutes on this Ramban.
Yeah.
Remember?
I think so.
Yes. Okay, good. Okay. What? Oh, the other sources. Yeah, okay, fine. So he says, Shalachin Sarah Lomer, the Dvarm Chashiv Balachabed, Rag Dvarm Shu Ose Batsman Shu Lasa Klum, Shumiriach Besam Shalah, Umab. See, by the way, I was talking about this with our Ginsburg. One of the things that's nice about Rav Moshe's Tshuvot is that, right, even if I didn't have a tendency to also show you the Halacha L'maisa, Rav Moshe's Tshuvot is also very lumdish, right? Like, the way he writes, right, this is a very, right, he's making certain very radical claims about the Sugya, but it's, right, it forces you to really understand the nature of the Sugya. Okay. So he says, "V'nistar levar shagava l'schoki mo l'achel rosh." And now he goes farther, right? Because he says it's not even just, right? It's even the kalas rosh, right? Even to be levitous, frivolous, right? That is all the boven shu rak mitzi dom v'lomitzi da. Even though it's one sided, right? That would also be. I skipped a line. He says, Right now, Ramosha makes a very radical argument. And he says, maybe. And this is interesting. It says maybe the Magid Mishnah thinks that the only things that are dirabanan are one-sided things. Why would he say that? Why would the Magid Mishnah say? Right, Ramosha argues that yes, the Magid Mishnah thinks flirting or winking or smelling the perfume is dirabanan. But why? So he says maybe because it's one-sided. But maybe the Magid Mishnah would agree that if both of them are talking romantically, that would be biblically prohibited. Why? Both. Good. Why does it make a difference?
Because they're both putting...
And therefore what? Tell me, conceptually, what's the argument Ramosha is making?
There's more of a chance it will lead to...
So it could be that. It could be that it's more of a gzera, or we've talked about this before in Tosfos and Rashi.
Well, that already is like a...
Yeah, it's more dome. But it's more conceptually similar to sex, right? Because it's mutual,
right?
Meaning voyeurism is one way. You know what voyeurism is?
Not really.
Voyeurism, like a peeping Tom, which is the old term for it.
Got it.
Right? So the guy who's creepily smelling her perfume, right? That might have voyeuristic side to it, but that's not, right? That's one side objectifying the other. It's at some level, right? It might be whatever you want to call it, right? It's, I mean, that could be, it's one-sided sexuality, right? Therefore, it could, you know, spill over into abuse or something like that, right? But, right, it's one-sided. So Moshe says maybe the only reason the Magid Mishnah thinks that halacha bet halachot, right, are dirabanan is because they're not conceptually similar enough to actual intercourse to be included under lotikrevu. Now, ostensibly, that's not right. The Magid Mishnah seems to think, why is it, right, that the Magid Mishnah seems to think that the only thing which is biblical, what's the simplest Pshat in Rambam, as we've noted? Right, that it's only foreplay. Right, that it's touch that's done, derech taivas bia. Right, because it's really close to sexuality. But Ramosha raises the possibility that it's not right. That, remember we saw this in Rashi and Tosfos, right? That however you understand the Daraisa, the Darabun will be modeled on it.
Yeah.
So Ramosha is making an interesting conceptual move. That maybe the nature of Losikrevu is that any quasi-sexual act, even that doesn't entail touch, which is conceptually similar to intercourse in the sense that it is mutual, is therefore... Right, is therefore biblically prohibited, not rabbinically.
Daraisa.
Right, that's the argument he's making, and that maybe the Magid Mishnah would accept it. Right, that's a very, again, it's a beautiful lumdish argument, but there, it takes a jump, because the simple Pshat in Rambam is that that's not enough. Right, mutuality, right, the Rambam's emphasis isn't mutuality, what is it? Yeah, it's skin to skin touch, which is derech taivas bia. Right? Right, the simple, again, the way the Shach puts it, the way Shimon translates the Shach in the Rambam, is it's foreplay, right? Flirting, I mean, yes, sort of like very broadly speaking, right, is like on the same trajectory, but it's very far, right? If flirting was the same as actual foreplay, right? I mean, whatever. I don't need to explain to you, right, that there's a difference. I don't need to explain to you that there's distance between those, right? I hope. Okay, fine, good. Yes, who's here today is good on that one. Good. Okay, he says, "The lom is staber lomar shamagin mishnah polagal aran." But what drives Ramosha to say this? Right, Ramosha makes a very specific argument. What drives him to say this?
Say that
the Magid Mishnah would agree that mutual flirtation could be more problematic than one-sided sniffing. I don't know.
Like we said, it's more close. It's close.
No, but what? Not textually, not conceptually. Textually.
What can make it wrong?
Textually, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tisaper Imam Echore Hageder. Right, he wants to figure out how could it be that the Ran interprets the Gemara in Sanhedrin as saying that talking with the woman behind the fence is Yahar Gval Yavor, but sniffing her perfume isn't. And he says maybe it's because of the mutuality. Right?
Well, there it's not mutual.
So that's the problem, right? That's the problem, right? There, Moshe is making a move. Right, he's making a move here because it's not clear what's going on there. There, it doesn't sound like it's two-sided. Right, it's not even clear that she would talk to him. Right, I mean, not clear exactly what is going to go on if she's going to talk. Right, but right,
she was consenting to be.
She'll say,
"I'm going to
call."
Right, it's not totally clear. Okay, and he says, and he said, furthermore, since the Rambam says that the nature of the Isser D'Oraisa is anything which leads to sex and flirtatious talk can. So he says it should be usher. Vayin b'shach shekalt of gam anuke Yosef. So perik ben zorer. So benami tisaperim arachagul yisur daraisa. V'avshem first mina yokish shumi krud lo sikur v'legalos erva. But now Rav Moshe admits that yes, the anuke Yosef says it's usher, but he doesn't say it's under lo sikurvu. Niradu dahu meharaya lo shekalt of dashlo shavers yarg val yavaru lav davka by ver gufel inu v'chal b'zrayu. He assumes that this is what he must mean. Now I should point out there are many other ways of explaining that Gemara, right? Many other, right? Because part of the, even within the Gemara says it may just be a gzeiras, so to speak, of Zlotide Benos Yisrael Prutzos, right? Meaning that it doesn't, because it may be a policy concern, right? If we allow people to use the claim I'm dying and therefore force that woman to stand naked in front of me, right? That could lead to disastrous policies, right? Where women can become, right, the, right? No, but that's why, no, but it may be that the Gemara says the Yarek Vel Yavar partially, as the Gemara itself says, to protect women from being coerced by halacha into sleeping with people they don't want or standing naked in front of, right? Like, that's a bad...
How does that fit into what I said yesterday?
You weren't here yesterday. You were in Ranana.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
With that the nature of the prohibition or the nature of the statement in Chazal is a statement of basically this is you cannot have such a thing in the halakhic system.
Correct.
Is that at what point do you make that jump? Do you make it at the policy level? Do you make it at the theoretical level? Do you make it at the like meta halakhic level?
Well, that's part of the machlokas in the Gemara. That's uh-huh. Exactly the point. That's what I'm saying. So there are other deos in the Gemara. There's more than one way of explaining that Gemara.
Okay.
Right, that's the point. Ramosha is taking a particular direction here. And he then assumes, Valsurin Rabban lo yakar le Rabbi Zrayu. If it was only rabbinic, it wouldn't have be Israel. It wouldn't be a subsidiary. Kevin dahaya zemei is a takana shein lemelif. The takana should be from achirim. There ain't no maybe by mehad lemandim or pnuya isa. Right now, part of it is because the Gemara there has a discussion: was she a married woman or a single woman? If she was single, it wouldn't be a riot. Right? So how could it possibly be a Hargval Yavor? And the Gemara says, well, if she was single, it's clearly a policy concern. Right? So Moshe is making the argument that, well, according to the position that doesn't assume she's a Penuya and assumes that it is a function of being an Erva, it's not a policy concern, it's a halachic concern. What halachic concern is it? It must be Lo Tikrevu. But again, that's not a given. Right? Ramosh is aware of this, right? He's telling you this, but he's taking a particular direction.
That's not different than the Ran.
What?
I mean, that's not different than the Ran.
No,
it's
he's...
the exact same thing.
No. Ramosh is...
This
is Ramosh is based on the Ran. Right? Ramosh is saying the Ran is right, and I believe... then he makes the next move, and I think everybody agrees with him.
Right. Well, the way the Shach presents it seems like the Rambam also agrees with the Ran in this. With this. In other words, it seems like the source is the same.
Possibly. Right?
I might have missed it, but does the Magen Mishnah answer how these things don't fall under that Gemara of the Argval Yavar?
Well, first of all, the Magen Mishnah doesn't have to agree, right? Because the Magen Mishnah could think Maskana of the Gemara is, right, that it's the Takanas of Shloban, it knows Yishal Prutus Baraz, right? I mean, again, it depends what you think the Maskana of the Gemara is, right? The Magen Mishnah doesn't have to accept the Ran. Right? Rav Moshe assumes...
But that's why he says, like...
And the Rambam doesn't have to, right? Meaning, right?
Right, the way the Shach learns, at least.
So Rav Moshe is... Right, what Rav Moshe is doing is he's taking the assumption that the Shach accepts the Rambam, accepts the Ran. Therefore, the Rambam must accept the Ran, and Magen Mishnah must accept the Ran's interpretation within the Rambam, and therefore we should wrap it all up in a nice bow and make it logical. That's what he's doing. Right? Meaning, like I said, it's not impossible. It's also not Mukhrach. But that, again, this is what I want you to be careful about, is that not, he's not saying, I'm not saying Ramosha doesn't mean it. Right? I'm saying that Ramosha is constructing an argument that requires to accept that everybody agrees. Right? Which is not necessarily true. It's not necessarily not true either. Right? Fine. Let's skip down. Okay. So now let's go to the next paragraph. Skip to the next paragraph. Hare hu isra chamer gami d'araisa she'ika v'kishrei reyo she'ish l'narem nara sh'af m'yizar m'chibak v'nishur gana giv yichod ika masha v'dari ima eizem meshech zman v'der chiba v'nenem yizeh u'mi'istak lusa ba. And he said, therefore, the fact that this boy is talking to this girl, even without touching, even without yichod, the fact that they're talking romantically and looking at each other and enjoying talking to each other is usher. And he says, "V'aflor amban shapalik v'servish rakni rabbanu nami akapanim isur chamur d'ikas smachtami cry v'loganos emakas marjus." And wait a second. By the way, I never actually pay attention to this, but Ramosha takes the read of the Rambam. Now I see that someone did make this read. Even the Ramban, who thinks it's the Rabbanan, doesn't think it's a regular Dirabanan. He thinks it's an Asmachta Dirabanan. What is Ramosha implying? Remember, this is what I suggest in the Rambam. Remember, the Ramban has three formulations. It's Dirabanan, which is who understands the Ramban.
What do you mean,
The Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says the Ramban is pure Dirabanan. The Ramban has two other forms, Shach also. It's because of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef just says Dirabanan, right? And he's the first one. I mean, not the first one, but he's like the... Ramban himself has three formulations. It's Darabanan, it's Daraisa Chatzi Shir, or this middle formulation that it's sort of an Asmachta, and therefore it's between Daraisa and Darabanan. Rav Moshe, remember I suggested that Ramban is connected to the Ridva, who thinks that Asmachta is a quasi Daraisa. I didn't notice until just now that who accepts that? Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says even the Ramban, who thinks it's Darabanan, doesn't think it's a regular Darabanan. He thinks it's Darabanan Shish Bo Asmachta, which is between Daraisa and Darabanan. V'zeh barur, and therefore it is clear, shekishrei reyus imnaro mitzad chibas isha. It must be the reason that this guy has a relationship with this girl is because of, I'm going to translate this as romantic or sexual love. Because then he said, v'lo rak reyus ba'almak. It's not friendship, right? It's chiba, so...
Friendship then?
No.
No, it's sexual attraction, let's say. Right? That, I think that's either romantic or sexual attraction.
What? Anything you don't feel...
Anything which is not platonic. Right? That's the point. It's not... That's what he's saying. It's not platonic. Whatever it is.
Well,
make it
platonic. Me and you, Joseph.
Yes. And then he has this... This is a funny argument. Right? And he says, because... I mean, not a funny... It's just funny. Right? He said, why?
Because
if he just wanted a friend...
Why don't you get a guy?
It's better to have guy friends, right? No one hangs out for fun with a girl. Right? That's Ramosha's argument. Okay, fine.
Really
what does he need a girl for?
I beg to differ of some sort.
Okay. He says... And then he says, besides, it's worse because he's not getting respect for this, right? He's not getting a good reputation, right? Why is he not getting a good reputation?
People like staying out with girls.
Yeah.
Right, and because he already said that it's a bad relationship. Like, he already knows that people are talking badly about him, right? He's saying he's doing it despite the fact that people are looking down at it. He said people are looking down at him. It's not like, it's, right? Ramosha had two options. Either it's a platonic friendship, which he says is impossible, because why would you ever have a friend who's a girl? Right? He said, or he's doing it so people are like, oh, that guy has a girlfriend. But he said, no, because in his social circles, people are looking down on him. Therefore, the only reason he's still with the girl is because...
It's not platonic.
It's romantic. Right. It's romantic. It's sexual.
But Ramosha's only...
it's a very funny... This is like a very... See, this is where like you see good post-game, right?
That's
like,
what my brother always said to me also.
But Ramosha says...
Remember, this guy told me he wasn't going to listen to Ramosha. So Ramosha do everything in his power to write, to hit the guy as hard as he can. And Ramosha, if you notice, not just halachically, is saying, yeah, this is Yehari Gval Yavor. Rhetorically, he is like drilling into the guy. He's like, you are a manuvel, right? And you are a liar. right? It's not at all overkill.
I thought he didn't follow like what he paskin for the kid.
And he says, Hare vadai shumitzad chibas anayra shumitzad shehi isha. Said, you're only hanging out with her because of the love that you have for her by dint of the fact that she is female. Right? V'avshi pnuya, he says, and you'll tell me, well, she's unmarried, it's okay. Hare hi nida. She hasn't gone to the mikvah, neither should she. She's an erva. And therefore the law replies to her. And there's a separate pasuk for this. Said, not only does this asur her husband, but it adds isurim for everybody else. And then he goes on. There's another biblical prohibition that might show up. And he says, and besides, in addition to all these, it might cause you hear her, right? To think bad thoughts. Ulahoti zer levatala, right? What is this book? Oh, it's reciting again. Ulahoti zer levatala, and two.
Levatala
is that ejaculation, right? Either, he's assuming not active masturbation at this point. He's assuming
seminal discharge
because of improper thoughts, yeah. And that's the Gemara we're going to see in Daf Chaf. Right, the nature of that prohibition. Sha'af shalom margish b'zeh tekev. He said, you may not feel it immediately. Right? It's not like
tekev means immediately.
Yes. Right? He's saying it's not like you're talking to her and suddenly, right? Yeah. After she'll say yahar balayla v'yavali de'tumah balayla. What the Gemara is worried about is you'll end up having improper thoughts at night. And at night, while you're sleeping, there'll be a seminal discharge. Shazen nemar alav, and that's the prohibition. Shnar v'kovar rash, and yikenu lashon, re'pinchas ben yari b'ksubos, etc., etc. Okay? Now, I'm not going to read to the rest of this paragraph because we'll see it next week. Right? That's the Gemara and Daf Chaf. It's also in ksubos membav, but I'm not just taking you on random sugyas that are connected. We're still in Avodah Zarah, even our perek. Okay.
I mean, was Rav Moshe to go?
And then in the last paragraph, he just says, "V'gam tzarich leida she'isur yichud b'zeshu gasim eze isha chamur miyichud im stam isha." And he says, besides, yichud with someone you're attracted to is worse than regular yichud. Now, what?
What does that mean?
You're more compelled with someone you're.
Oh, it's obviously to. Right. It's obviously right.
But
what?
That's not also yichud. That's
no, al yichud, al yichud. How do we know? Because the halacha is that you're allowed to be misyachid with a woman if baila be'ir.
Oh, but not if you're.
But not if you're libo gaspa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, he means this purely halachically.
Okay.
Right? Meaning, if you are libo gaspa, right, meaning you're someone you're infatuated with, you're comfortable with, then certain heterim of yichud, like her husband's around, doesn't help you.
Libo gaspa means you're comfortable with her or you like her?
See, it's not clear, right? Because in that context, it could. Right, he's taking it as attracted to her, right? But the truth is, the purpose of yichud, some poskim are more like, yeah, even if you're comfortable with her, why? Because it's not. Because what's the svar of bala be'ir? Her husband show up, right? Or you're afraid the husband's gonna show up and it'll be like, what are you doing here, right? But if you're like someone that's very very friendly, even if you're not infatuated with her,
no, what are you doing here?
No, meaning,
what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
But. No. Look, there's an easier cover if the husband doesn't catch them in the act of sex, right? If it's someone who's always around the house, right?
Like I'm just stop by for a cup of coffee. I'm not allowed to go to the house. My brother's
here.
What?
Pool
what?
Again this week?
Is that? I mean, is that?
No, I'm saying, you know, late yishlok. Let's talk.
Yeah,
anyways.
I'm sure the same.
Okay. Fine. Now he goes on to prove this. And he notes that there are theoretical cases, right? That there are theoretical cases, according to some poskim, in the case of sota, where there might even be yichud when it's not yichud, meaning yichud versus harabin.
Oh.
Right? Now, that's unimportant, because now
yichud that's not yichud.
Yes, meaning they're not alone, but it's still aser, right? It's based on a shita specifically by sota. Now, I don't want to get into this sugya, but I do want to point out one last rhetorical point. Now, I want to point out one last rhetorical point, which is, remember I told you that part of this tshuva that makes it powerful is the rhetoric?
Rhetoric is justified rhetoric.
Rhetoric is the way he phrased them, is not the arguments he's making, but the language he uses to convince people.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know that Rav Moshe is not just recording halacha, but he's also trying to persuade? Because this is unrelated. The guy said he's makbid on yichud. Right? The guy said, what's the halacha if I'm not over yichud? And what does Rav Moshe throw at him? Remember, yichud's really bad.
But isn't that what he's doing here? He's trying to say that even though you think you're not doing Yichud, it's...
But yeah, but that's exactly the point, is what is he doing?
He's doing Yichud Barabim.
Which, yeah, but that's only...
He's trying to find every way to...
Correct, except Ramosha tells you that when is there Yichud Barabim?
By
Sofa, which requires that you're doing this with a married woman, and the woman's husband already warned you not to be with her, right?
He's not applying it to this case.
No, that's exactly my point. He's not formally applying it. What's he doing? He's saying he's throwing halachic truths at the guy that aren't necessarily relevant, but they seem relevant. Meaning, yeah, he's saying, listen. You said you're being machmir on Yichud. First of all, that's not necessarily true. Because Yichud, sometimes the standards are different if you're infatuated with a woman. And you know what? You think you're not in private at all? There are cases in halacha where that would be Yichud. I'm not saying this is the case.
Not really Yichud.
Right?
He's not applying it at all?
No, he's saying that's obviously...
He's quoting someone you had
a... I don't have that.
Right?
He's not really making a...
He's taking advantage of
right?
not knowing information.
I mean, look. You can look. Okay, I mean, you can look at it. Right? He says...
Do not do that.
Get a sex-crazed individual.
Right, he doesn't seem to
not applying it.
Hey, it's hard to say he's really applying it. I mean, you can read through it, right? No, he says, look at the third line. He says, said, it's not really true, because that's not an Isser Yichud, that's a function of Kinui. He says, it's not really this. He said, but Misvara, you know, it sort of applies. Right? I mean, he's saying, is that really true? Now, if I read this, I love this tshuva. I love this tshuva. I'm not convinced that Ramosha doesn't mean what he says. Right? I'm not convinced he does. Right? I think what's clear from Ramosha is that Ramosha really thinks that it is plausible that all the subsidiary Yisurim are Daraisa and Lotikrabu. I think it's plausible that he thinks that. And that he thinks that under certain circumstances, talking with girls, not L'shem Shiduchim, is at that Madrega. What I'm not convinced of, and this is what I want to be clear about, right? I'm not saying that none of the argument, that all of this is rhetoric, right? Just rhetoric. But when people say from Ramosha, it's clear that, you know, people will use this Ramosha in many ways. They'll be like, if you're not shidduch dating, right? Right? If this is not a formal shidduch date, then it's not serious enough l'shem kiddushin, right? And therefore Ramosha says it's aser, right? Or you're 18 and you're not planning getting married till at least in your 20s, right? It can't be, right, that this is possibly in any way, shape, or form, right? That's not called l'shem kiddushin, right? Or there's no such thing, according to Moshe, as a relationship which is not sexualized. Right? I don't think Moshe said any of that. Moshe is responding to a very specific situation. A guy who told him that he has a problematic girlfriend situation, and he doesn't really care if it's problematic, he just wants to know whether it's usher. Moshe says, your relationship is textbook usher. And not only is it textbook usher, but I'm going to throw the book at it and all these possible things that come up, like Yichud, right? He says, look, it's not really Yichud. It's just sort of Yichud. I mean, he's like, even if you are machmir on Yichud, you might not be. And it might be sort of like Stira, which I understand is not a relevant category for what I'm talking about right now, but it sort of makes my point, right? And therefore, right, and this is why I think you have to be careful with Ramosha, right, is that I'm not saying Ramosha is a big fan of platonic relationships with girls. I don't think he is. I don't think any construal of this tshuva would read that.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think any construal.
At least it's
I think no construal of Ramosha will say that Ramosha is like, yes, I love this idea. On the other hand, right, that doesn't mean, right, and some people will use Ramosha, I'm not sure, right, if someone says, look, I have friends who are girls, right? That nature of my friend group. I'm 20 years old. And I'm not close to the possibility that I'm going to marry one of them. I'm not, like, planning on getting married, like, right now. And I'm not, like, shidduch dating. But...
It might happen.
But these are people who, right, I try to keep the relationship, you know, respectful, within the bounds of halacha. And I actually am open to the possibility that it will lead to marriage. I'm not thinking about it. Like, this is not a shidduch date.
I'm not putting my mind to, like, it's
correct.
Or not.
Some people say Ramosha wouldn't, right, would say that's usher midaraisa. Yesh lo adon, right? And now, I admit that socially, Ramosha probably didn't encourage that type of dating, right? That doesn't mean that in a social world where that is normal, right, that the that halachically it's clearly usur, right? I don't think it is.
You're a bummer, though, at least. Like, even if you don't go Ramosha, that it's
no. No, because remember, no, because if it's not, remember this, remember Ramosha's other tshuva, the subway tshuva, is that, right, and the other tshuva, that's what's amazing. In the other tshuva, Ramosha says, either things are foreplay or they're mutter, right? Right, there is no Dirabanan. He rejects all the Achronim who say that there's Dirabanan. Right? It's in this tshuva, right? And that's why I said when you put the two tshuva next to each other, they don't contradict, per se, but the tension is quite striking.
It's totally different cases.
Yes and no. Because, right, right, you follow Ramosha's argument, the only thing that Ramosha is convinced of, it is lo sikravu, convinced of, is mutual flirtatious talk that is similar enough to intercourse that even the Magen Mishnah, who rejects the notion,
or mutual kalas rosh.
Okay, but not that. So that's why we have to talk about kalas rosh. Now I agree, 100%, and I've been arguing this for a very long time, right?
And mutual that, smelling of the perfume.
No, within the modern Orthodox community, we don't talk enough. Right, about what Kalas Rosh may entail.
You also show right? Me he is falling out the window.
No, I don't want to talk about Shomani Gia, but I'm saying Bichlal, maybe. But I'm saying even right, meaning I'm willing to accept halachic arguments that are not as extreme as Ramosha, which will allow the possibility of platonic relationships. Right? I am willing to accept such a thing. Right? But you're right that I don't think that even people who accept that, just because you accept that in theory, doesn't mean that you can then say, okay, Kalas Rosh is not a category, and we can assume that all relationships are platonic and non-problematic, right?
I'd be surprised if you could assume any are.
I don't know.
That's like insanely rare.
I don't know. See, now this is the opposite of the problem we had yesterday, right? Now I'm asking you to imagine, yesterday I asked people to imagine, can you imagine a sexualized situation? Now I'm asking you, can you imagine a non-sexualized situation?
Yes.
Okay, good. So that's my point. That's it.
A situation of non-sexualized. I cannot imagine a continued platonic relationship among many girls, as many girls as you want, with that being allowed, where you're not going to end up with Isser almost immediately.
Yesh Ladin. But I think we'd have to talk about it. That's why I think you're right. We're not done. Sit. I know. We're ending early. It's fine. What time is it?
It is
10:30. 10:30. Yes.
Okay, so let's finish these sources and we'll move on. Okay, now we're moving on to something not totally else, but
now listen.
Okay, very quickly, what we have noted until now is that, let's go back to Moshe's subway tshuva. There are some Rishonim who think that sexualized touch is Daraisa, non-sexualized touch is Darabanan, and then there are presumably things that are Mutter. The Ramosha himself argues that the majority of Rishonim don't believe in such a category. There's sexualized touch, which is Ashmi Daraisa, and then everything else is Mutter. Right?
I like that.
Now, we noted that there were many Rishonim who said, okay, there's another possibility, which is that in the middle, there are things which are Asur, and then there are things which are bad ideas, right? Which are Leich, Leich, Amrin, Lenazir, Skarskar, Lekarma, Lo Tikrav, right? Which is stay away from Arayos, right? Just like we tell Nazir to stay out of a
vineyard.
But how do we get to this point? Right? What exactly is the mechanism by which you get not just from Daraisa to not Daraisa, or Yaharik Vel Yavor, not Yaharik Vel Yavor, right? How is it that you overcome the Dirabanan, or that's unethical, or whatever exactly that middle category is? Right? How do we jump from there to things are mutter? Right? And how do we jump from that possibility to say that maybe not even things which are definitionally desexualized? Right, but how are things that are potentially, in other contexts, sexual, right, kisses, how can they ever be mutter? Because, yes, we've talked about this notion that standard within the Sephardic community is to accept the notion that social kissing, right, you know, again, it's true in France, it's true in certain cultures, right, that social kissing on the cheek or whatever is a perfectly legitimate, you know, type of greeting, right, in the same way many poskim accept that handshakes are mutter. Again, some poskim basically say, handshakes are usher, even they're usher midaraisa because they're sexualized, which I find hard to believe. Or it's usher derabanan because they accept some argument like the Sidrei Tara. Or it's really bad idea because of like those Rishonim who say there's this middle category, right? But how do you get to the point of the poskim who say handshakes are totally mutter, and to the poskim, which is not like Rav Moshe's subway case, right? Meaning it's not unintentional; it's intentional. Or that kissing, right, within right this you know your community, right, is a normal greeting. But what is the mechanism? So what's the mechanism? So Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin has several articles on this. Who did he send the handshake article to? Was it you?
I have a handshake article from a user.
The one he sent you from Ray Henkin.
I think it's him.
Yes. So this is that's the article. Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin.
Oh yeah.
Good. So Rav Henkin has developed this in several places, right? So what you've read it? Good. So what's his fundamental argument? I gave you the keyword by the way here.
This is like 2 months ago.
Habituation, right? That he makes an argument that the mechanism by which this happens is habituation, right? That there is this notion in halacha, well, two words, subjectivity and habituation, right? There's a recognition that non-sexualized activity isn't, or not everything is sexualized for everybody, right? Certain things can be sexual for one person, not for another. And the second is that certain things which are become habitual in a community become are just not sexualized by virtue of the context.
Yes.
Where does he get this notion from? From very weak sources. The Gemara, the Rishonim, and the Achronim. Right? Right? It's where did he get it? So I gave you just the key sources. Gemara and Kiddushin. Amar Shmuel and Mishtamshin Be'isha. The Gemara says that you aren't allowed to use women, meaning not in the way it's used in English.
Ask for them to do something.
But yeah, it's like have them do certain tasks around the house that might be interpreted into it. You're like behind me. It's hard. I can't see you. I like to turn.
Well,
anyways.
All that has to be done is I just have to be able to hear you.
Oh, but I must see you too. So he says, how can you do this? Right. The case was where they were having someone right act as a maid in the house. So I think like the other halacha Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Hakol Bidei Shamayim, Lishem Shamayim, that everything is for the sake of heaven. What does that mean? Right? How can something be usher but mutter as long as it's Lishem Shamayim? Mazeh Omer. So, what? Good. But, so the Ritva takes this as a rule in Hilchos Arayos, which is V'chein Hilchosah. Da'kol Kefi Mashadam Makir Be'atzmo. Right now, everyone's going to get very angry because you'll hear a lot of times that modern poskim will say, well, it's not that I think everybody the handshake is usher for, but I can't trust people, right? And people don't know themselves. Ein apotropos la rayos, or whatever. Ritva says, no, it's not true. At some level, the nature of these halachos are, yes, it's based on what you know about yourself. If you know yourself that you should distance yourself because of your Yetzer Hara, Oseh, do it.
It's like the subway.
What?
It's like the subway.
Yes, it's the subway. That's exactly. He quoted the Ritva.
Oh, okay.
This is the Ritva he's quoting. Vafil, I think he quoted the Ritva. He said, "Vaval istake bevigdi tzivon shalisha asr." He said, "Yeah, everyone." And this is the Gemara we'll get to in Daf Chav. Everyone says you shouldn't stare at the colored clothes of a woman that you know.
Yeah.
Right. Vimak ramazu shisra nichna v'kaf of lo vein malatina klal muter lo istako. But he says, "But if you know yourself and it'll do nothing to you, so it's fine." Right. Which, to be fair, I think most people nowadays. I don't think
control themselves for that.
Most people, I think, if they happen to be, right, you know, not niach, right, like in my parents' house, right, downstairs, like in the guest room, like we have like an extra closet, which is like extra clothes that we don't really need, right. I don't think most guests at my parents' house open it up and they see like you know the clothes my mother never wears, and they're like. Like, we're used to it. We have, like, so many clothes in our life that it's just normal. There's, like, we have hundreds of, right? Remember, the time of the Gemara, part of it, I'm guessing, was that people had, like, two or three outfits, right? So, like, you identified someone with this clothes. It wasn't like, we're so used to seeing, like,
yeah,
right?
It says, if you come right...
And remember, everything was handmade, right? Meaning everything was handmade, right? And colors were rare, right? People usually had, like, these drab things. Right, nowadays, you don't see clothes, right? Not everything, right? I think if someone accidentally, right, or, right, opened up someone's, you know, lingerie drawer, yeah, in a drawer in a Hanami, right? This might be what we're talking about. But the average person, they see, like, somebody's, you know, I don't know, olive green dress, I don't know, pick some color, right? Like some drab color, brown. Brown is a color too, right? They're going to look, right? Like, he just says, if you know that that's not what, you know, excites you, so it's fine. And he says, furthermore, the Gemara says, you aren't allowed to ask a married woman, how are you doing? Right? Nowadays, the Ritva says, look, if you know that greeting people is normal, right?
Your husband, you're not allowed to.
Yes. But he says, nowadays, if you know that you don't get sexually excited by saying, how are you doing? Right? So then it's mutter.
The wrong right. Further, the term, how are you doing, has become like so like meaningless in English.
Correct.
People say it as a greeting. Not that you actually care, but as a greeting.
Always at the same time.
It's like, what's up? How are you doing?
No, there it was later. But
I'm barely. Always responding.
What?
It's like a couple of years.
That's a long time. But anyways. But I'm saying the Ritva says this, and he says, "V'ha'inu ahidir Rabbi Yochanan," and he said, "What was the proof of this? That Rabbi Yochanan, the Yosef Ashari Tvila v'lochai sheitzarhar, Rabbi Yochanan used to sit outside the mikvah, right, because he wanted to inspire women with his beauty, right?
Oh yeah, they should bear children like
yes, exactly. V'riami dinafik le'amasa debe kesar, and is the case that you saw in Yudzayin, right? That all the rabbis who would put the collars on their shoulders, all that, right?" And he quotes several of these, right? I mean, I'm just sorry, that was a different case than Gemara, but all of these, he just quotes all of these, right? Skip down two lines. Ella, he says, he said, obviously, putting, at least these latter cases, right? Putting the kala on your shoulders, that's only a chasid gadol, But a little cold, I mean, the chambot can be a tray, and not every Talmud Chacham can be as confident in the Yisara. Praiseworthy is someone who learns Torah. Because it'll give you faith and hope in the end of your days. So what does the Ritva say? He says fundamentally, it's subjective. Fundamentally, it's subjective, right? But you have to have a head on your shoulders, and not everybody should actually be that confident with themselves. Okay. Yamshel Shlomo says, "Din b'din zeh yivur hadamuter levas lishan etzel avia v'bein etzel imo b'kiruv baser davchali lebatzud alav shana v'yom echad v'abein yulben v'yom echad." So the reason that a child can sleep in the same bed as his parent, even b'kiruv baser, which was the normal way, is until they're 12 or 13. Fine. And then he says, I'm not going to get to everything what he says in the middle, but he says, right, even though there are some gemishut, some flexibility in this halacha, he says, the basic rule in this is, it depends on what you perceive and how much you control Yitzhara. If you can handle it, you're allowed to talk to an erva. You're allowed to look at her.
Is Rabbeinu Yonah?
This is Yamshel Shlomo, Shlomo Luria. V'lishol v'shloma. And you can... and you can ask her. And now, remember, the Ritva said this is a theory, but said maybe not everyone should rely on it. But Yamshel Shlomo says, "Val zeh somchen ha'olam." This is what the world relies on. Kol ha'olam. Because they look at women, and they talk to women, and they have women waitresses and stuff like that. Right, that all the poskim say. Right, the poskim, there was one shita in Psak that said not only can you have a woman waitress, but if it's normal, you could also have a woman like heating the water for you in the bathhouse. All the poskim are like, you know, that's a really bad idea. Right, that's just a bad idea. Right, he said if you have a particularly strong yitzro hara, feel big then you shouldn't do it. What does the Yamshel Shlomo add to the Ritva? And this is sort of a safeguard. Right? What does he add to the...
It's a level of subjectivity.
No, so that's the Ritva. Right? The Ritva introduces subjectivity, which is dangerous. The Yamshel Shlomo adds what's a pretty good check on it, which is... communal subjectivity. Right? I mean, not you.
Society.
Right? Meaning, he's making a subtle argument. He's saying, the issue is based on subjectivity. But... what does he seem to be saying? Right, I mean, the Ritva says don't rely on it, right? Because you don't know yourself, right? But the Yamshel Shlomo flips it only slightly, and he says, but if the whole community does it, so it's fine, unless you know you have a particularly strong Yetzer Hara,
yeah.
Right? Meaning what he seems to be implying, again, I didn't say it explicitly, right, is that there is a good check. Because if you want to hear halachic good advice, what does the Ritva say? The Ritva says, Mekar Adin, it's mutter, to do a lot of things. if you know yourself and you know you're not aroused. But that's not always a great idea because not everybody knows themselves. Right? But that's for something which most people find arousing. But most people, right, at this point in history, don't find it arousing to say, good morning, how are you doing? Right? Right? And therefore, and this is part of Rav Henkin's argument, that even if you don't want to simply say, okay, subjectivity, go ahead, do whatever you want, right? That's very different when you grow up in a culture where it's desexualized by the culture, right? Like, that's just the culture, it's not sexual, right? So there the Amchal Shlomo said, that's what the world does, it's fine. And he doesn't put the hesitation in the Ritva. Oh, and don't do it, right? The Ritva says not everyone should do it because they don't know themselves. What does the Amchal Shlomo say? He says the opposite. If you know yourself to be more sexually, aroused than the average person, so then don't rely on what is the norm, right? The last one here, and I don't know exactly what happened to this Leket Yosher, the last line. I really don't really know what happened there. But okay. It says, and he says, there's another issue in the Gemara, don't walk behind a woman. Right? Because they assume that when you're walking behind a woman, you're focusing on her gait.
You put in a stairwell. Or
right.
Walking
up. But the Leket Yosher says, nowadays, the minhag is to be makil. Right, to allow you to walk behind a woman. Right, again, assuming you're not being aroused and you're not staring at whatever, right? He just says that is the minhag, is to be mekel. Right, now you see this move from the Ritva to the Amchal Shlomo to the Leket Yosher, right, who says, right, Leket Yosher is Tamei the Tumah Deshan, right, that the minhag is no, to be mekel lechachila. Right, and this is what, since you have it anyways, Rav Henkin argues about handshakes, right, is that. Right, he knows that. Right, the tikrivu. Let me get it. Let me get it.
He goes mostly with Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah.
Now he says, okay, he said some rabbis will tell you not to give a handshake to a woman. Even if it'll embarrass her, right? Why? So he says the argument they make is that the Rambam prohibits all physical contact, right?
Yeah.
Right. But as we've seen, it's not. He doesn't.
Yeah, it's not.
Right.
I mean, any contact, but derechiba.
It's only derechiba. Okay. No. This is not the. I mean, this tshuva is based on the other tshuva, right? It's about habituation. Okay, so I'll just summarize the other piece, and then we'll finish with this, right? You've seen, right? That. The simple pshat of Rambam is that when it comes to touch, the only thing that's asked to be daraisa is sexualized touch. Rav Moshe argues that while there are some rishonim, some achronim, that think that non-sexualized touch is at least asked to be darabanan, Rav Moshe thinks the lion's share of the achronim reject that and think either it's asked to be daraisa or it's mutter lechatchila. There are obviously the middle position of people who say, okay, maybe it's not mutter, but it's a bad idea. Sorry, maybe it's not asked, but it's a bad idea. Right? But here's what gets, right, where Henkin makes his argument. The Ritva says, fundamentally, as long as you're not attracted, it is mutter. But you shouldn't always rely on it, because you can't necessarily trust yourself. However, first of all, that doesn't mean you can never trust yourself. But what Henkin notes is that one of the easier ways to trust yourself is if you're not making an exception for yourself. It's one thing for somebody to say, look, I could kiss somebody on the lips, and it's just not, you know, I don't feel anything, right? Not speaking about anybody here, right? Right?
Anyone ever actually kiss someone?
That's one thing, right? That's the type of thing. Or taking a woman and carrying her on your shoulders. Right? Listen. Or carrying someone on your shoulders, right? Like, things like that. That, people, that's not like a normal thing to do. But once something is socially normal, right, as a non-sexualized way of relating to a woman, the argument in Poskim is that that's not just mutter, but you shouldn't do it, but it's mutter because when you're doing it, you're not doing it because you say, oh, I trust myself. You're saying, this is just desexualized. That's the nature of it. And that's why you ask me, my halacha l'maisa. I don't give you my psak, but here I'll give it to you. Right? I agree with Rav Henkin. I think, at least in the world I live, a handshake is desexualized. right? I think it is.
Sexualized is a strong word.
What?
Sexualized is a strong word.
Okay, except according to Ramosha, those are the only two options.
Well, derechiva is not sexualized.
No, it is. That's the point. The shocks is derechiva's bia, right? And that's Ramosha's argument. There is no in-between, right? The maker didn't, there's no in-between. Maybe it's derabban according to Sidre Tara. Maybe it's a bad idea according to Miri, or just it's a bad idea, right? But the simple pshat of the Rambam, accepted by the shach, accepted by Ramosha, is that the only thing that's usher is foreplay, right? Essentially, derechiva's bia, right? Not affectionate.
Not from the shach. And not from Ramosha either.
Ramosha says explicitly, and the shach says explicitly.
The shach says that...
Explicitly.
Not that it's just physical contact. What he brings down from the Ron is not just physical contact.
No, that's different. Remember, that's Ramosha's point. That something's going to lead to hearer, right? Or romantic speech is usher, right? From a different side, right? That's from a different branch of this prohibition. But on the level of touch, Ramosha's subway tshuva is that your only options are derech chibas bia or nothing. Right? That's the shach's argument. Because remember, the same shach who thinks misapri yima mechar egeder, right? Yeah. Might be Harvil Yavor, thinks that taking a woman's pulse, which for a husband, right? Sorry, which is clearly affectionate,
no,
right?
It's pulse. It's absolutely not. That's what he says.
No, the shach says it is, but it's not chibas bia.
No, he says it's not chiba.
No, it's not chibas bia. That's what he says.
The shach?
Yes, the shach's language is chibas bia. That's the problem. Not the problem. That's like, right.
By the right thing, he says it's not shach at all.
Yeah. No, but that's what he says. He says, this is his language. It's the Rambam's language, right? That it's derech taivas bia, derech chibas bia. Right?
The Rambam doesn't say chibas bia, does he? He just says derech chiba.
Hey, look at the shach. Kane derech taiva v'chibas bia.
That's over there, yeah.
Okay, but that's
Rambam
the point.
Say that.
But that's the point. The shach understands this, and again, this is how Ramosha understands it in the subway tshuva.
Sounds
right?
Like Mati is the exact opposite of the guy who's asking her question, Shiloh.
Listen.
Derech varim, I should see what means derech taiva.
Derech taiva,
the nene b'kir of basar.
B'kir of basar. What do you think he's talking about?
Benefit from contact.
No, derech taiva. He said derech taiva.
He does say derech taiva. Venena bekir basar gavan.
Yes, and what? How does the shach understand it? The shach understands it as derech chibas bia, right? Not just, you know, oh, your hand is warm, right? Yeah. It's a freezing day. Your hand's warm, right? It's chibas bia, right? That's what he says, right? That's what he says.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what he says. And remember, even the Beis Yosef, how does the Rama understand the Beis Yosef? That the only reason that taking the pulse is aser is because our kol b'ishto derech chiva, that maybe everything with your wife is romantic. Right? Romantic. Right? The weakest language that it could be is romantic. The strongest language is what the shach seems to actually say is foreplay. Right? But I'm willing to accept the possible formulation of romantic. Right? Not affectionate. Right? Affectionate, not friendly. Right? That's not what it is. It's romantic. At the very least, probably more than that. Right? And
That's just according to the shach. It seems like the Beis Yosef is a bit more machmer, and the Rambam definitely doesn't say that.
First of all, no. The Rama argues that the Beis Yosef means that as well. He just thinks that be'ishto. That's not true, right? Now, even according to the Beis Yosef, like I said, according to the Beis Yosef, I'm willing to accept the formulation that it's romantic. Anything less than romantic does not capture the Rambam, and derech taiva is not affection. Taiva is taivas bia. Right?
Nene b'kir basar, that's all.
Derech taiva, he says derech taiva.
Or nene b'kir basar.
Kir of basar in the Gemara is consistently talking about, right? Like, nene b'kir basar isn't. What kir of basar in the Gemara? Sleeping again in the same bed without clothes. Right, that's what he's talking about.
That's one form. That's
okay, but he doesn't bring anything less than chibuk v'nishok.
He brings down like 30 things less than chibuk v'nishok.
No, not halacha aleph.
I know, it's a nisr rabbanan at least.
Not touch.
I don't understand this.
That's Ramosha's point. Ramosha, one second. Stop. Ramosha's point is that you're wrong. Right? Is that the subway tshuva tells you that touching is not always more machmir than things that are romantic.
That's not touching though.
That's
like contact. That's very different.
No. Ramosha's point is that in Halacha Aleph the Rambam prohibits sexualized touch. Right? In Al Chabet, he prohibits sexualized other things, right? And Rav Moshe's argument in the subway tshuva is just because something is touch doesn't mean it's more sexualized than things which are sexualized but not involving touch, right? And therefore, you can't prove from these two tshuva from Rav Moshe. Right, Rav Moshe takes the argument very clearly in the subway tshuva that either something doesn't mean daraisa or is mutar lechatchila. Right? Remember, Rav Moshe says that even if you are aroused, it is mutar. Make red then. Be careful. If you're aroused to the point of erection, it's usher. If you're aroused not the point of erection, you shouldn't do it, and you should try to avoid it. But if you can't avoid it, it's okay. You should just try to distract yourself. Meaning, ad kidei kach.
You would never say you're allowed to willingly put yourself in that situation without other choices.
Again, but what Henkin's argument is, and I think he's 100% right, is that whole deal is only, right, there is no source in the early post.
You wouldn't say you could walk in the subway and if you see a girl sitting there with no clothing and you see a guy sitting, you're allowed to sit next to the girl because you were not going to get a boner. That's not what he's saying.
But there is no source. This is what Henkin notes. And he's right. Right? At best, the Beis Yosef includes, right, sexualized touch. Right? As the Isser, right, as the Isser. The Beis Yosef includes nothing less than that. The assumption is thus that he thinks that a married couple, it's always going to be sexualized touch. That's the way the Rambam understands him. Right? The only Shita who introduces the possibility that touch is usser independent of sexual context is Rabbeinu Yonah, which Beis Yosef quotes, but he possibly like the Rambam. Right, and by virtue of the fact that that Beis Yosef limits it to your wife, right, and doesn't say that the doctors can't treat other people's wives, right, proves that's why the Rama argues that the Beis Yosef doesn't paskin Rabbeinu Yonah that touch itself is usser.
Doctors a lot more interior, which they're
but that's Ramosh's point is that that's not the argument he makes, right? He doesn't say this is yotzei min haklal. He says that osek bavodaso is a siman to the fact that the only thing which is usser is sexualized touch, and a doctor, because he's osek bavodaso, makes a non-sexualized touch.
Okay, I think the point where
one second. Therefore, right? Therefore, there is no explicit source, right? There is none. It's not the Rambam. No, the Rambam's context. Perek Chav Aleph Halacha Aleph. It's clear. Chibuk v'nishuk, right? Those are specific. Derech Taiva, right? Kiruv Basar. Kiruv Basar doesn't mean, right? Right? Kiruv Basar, Derech Taiva. When you put those in the same words, right? Doesn't mean that your skin touched, right? It means, now, I understand, the community who says, right, meaning, it's very nice. Here what you have is you have Mati representing the position who says, no, that there's no source for this, but what the Rambam clearly means against all poskim is...
No, there is a source.
No, there is no source.
Okay, well then you have to learn halacha beis in the exact same way you learned halacha. That when it says that kalas reish is usser, it means kalas reish of the kind of kalas reish that is directly sexual, correct, which Ramesha clearly doesn't say.
Correct,
clearly
but I don't agree with that. But no. So remember.
You have to learn that.
So remember.
Hinting with the hand wait. In a purely
so remember,
sexual way.
So remember, first of all, remember that Ramosha goes against the Magen Mishnah here, right? The Magen Mishnah.
Magen Mishnah holds Derabanan, that doesn't matter.
Okay, but.
That's usser, so.
You think that context is even non sexualized? I don't think that's right.
It's in a friendly manner. It doesn't have to be sexual.
No, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right.
I think Hana is.
I don't think so.
Okay, but I think that's how.
But it's a wrong read, right? That's an Ezra Henkin notes
you're
correctly.
You're looking at sexualized, as opposed to benefiting. I get more pleasure talking to a girl than I do a guy.
I'm sorry.
I don't know how you read Perek Chav Aleph as not talking about sexual pleasure. Right, that is the whole concept.
I think it's rooted in sexual pleasure because it's a girl.
Problems is
I think Nene from a
no
girl.
Normal human being should in the 21st century, right, when someone offers their hand, right, and they give them a handshake, right, and it's the dead fish handshake or whatever you want to do, right.
It's a form of bond. That's what you do. That's why you give a handshake. And you know, I hear you bringing up the movies and TV shows all the time. You know how many in a bar where there's like a handshake
okay.
and eye contact, which is like
a... I'm just going to... Okay. The Rambam's language is... Kol haba al ha'erva min ha'arayo derech evarim, o shechibek v'nishech derech taiva v'nehne b'kiruv basar. Can we just be clear?
Yeah.
That vav is connecting.
Yeah.
Meaning, hugged and kissed in a derech taiva, not derech chiba.
That's fair.
Derech taiva, vin nehneh b'kirav basar. The implication being, he was nehneh from the kirav basar because it was derech taiva. That's the implication.
Seems a bit extra if you learn it that way. But okay.
What?
Seems a bit extra if you learn
it. No. It's the vav connects it. It's not two separate things.
Vin sometimes it's, are.
But it, here it's clearly not. Shechibek v'nishach derech taiva, vin nehneh b'derech, because he doesn't quote another action. Right?
Okay.
Right? Hareza loka minat Torah, shenem ma'al, v'ldiyazo mechil goda taiva. The Rambam is pretty clear, right?
And then the next halacha, all the things he brings down.
Okay. Yeah, but then you're saying there's a huge gap.
But
Ramosha, first of all, Ramosha in touch says there is none. Ramosha says it's Oze. That's Ramosha's point, that all the people who think there's something in the middle are wrong.
I thought Ramosha answers handshakes, though.
One second. Right? Ramosha's subway tshuva, right? Yeah. He argues, right? Right,
but I wasn't here for the show. I'll have to go through that.
Right, but that's exactly his argument: is that the majority position he argues in Achronim is that there is no such middle position. Now, okay, the point is that the poskim, right, the argument to be made, right, that handshakes are mutter, or that in the Sephardi community, right, that a kiss on the cheek is mutter, right, is based on this, right, is based on this notion that the only thing that's usher is derech. Taiva's bia, chiba's bia, right? Which again is either foreplay or at least sexually, right? At least sexual romantic, right? And that just because it's a kiss, right? This is the Truma Sadeshin's argument, right? Sorry, the Yamshar Shlomo's argument. That here we're not, and again, and the Akiyosha's argument, we're not relying on the Ritva, right? Pure the Ritva. We're not just saying you personally aren't turned on by it. We're saying this is normal in a culture, right?
You know what else is normal in today's culture?
Wait, one second. I'm telling you, the reason that Gedolei HaPoskim, right, the Gedolei HaPoskim in the Sephardi community thought it was mutter for women to kiss their hands, right, which was normal.
I don't understand what they're seeing. I don't understand how they're not, what they're seeing.
We're not sex crazed.
I mean, that's what they're saying.
It's partially not true.
Touching the, okay, so hold on.
I don't want to talk about that. I'm telling you. I want to explain to you why there's all this group of poskim, not just modern Orthodox poskim like Rapenkin, right? But how this was like this is Ad Hayom standard psak, as far as I can tell, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. Standard psak in the Sephardi community, right? And French community, and a lot of different communities, right? Where touch, right, is just, right, even what in America is considered more romantic touch, but in their cultures is not, it's considered friendly touch, right? The reason they say it is mutter, and the reason they say it, now, I will be clear, right, that this same argument is required, right, if you think, right, if you have any intuition that it is permitted to let your aunt give you a kiss, right? Which I understand that in many communities they say it's usher.
So we don't.
But as Rav Amital, right, used to tell us, he said, look, right, your aunt comes and gives you a kiss, right? I mean, look at the sources, right? That's not their chdivas bia, especially if you're letting her give you a kiss, right?
The sister is disgusting. The Rambam says maguna to the sister kiss you.
So the maguna is interesting, right? But, again, this is where this is where the Truma Sadeshin, the Truma Sadeshin, like Yosher, the Yamshar Shlomo come in. Is I'm not telling you to adopt something that's abnormal in the culture, right? But I'm saying when something is normal in the culture, right?
Yeah.
And again, and I want you to be careful. Remember that the exact same argument, right? The exact same argument is necessary to permit saying "How are you?" You understand that?
I agree with the argument 100%.
Okay,
I think there is a subjective factor to it.
There's two arguments here. One is that it's a subjective factor. Two is that once it's become a communal practice, right? The way the Yamshar Shlomo does it is it flips, right? You don't have to justify yourself as not sexualized. If you look around, the community doesn't treat it as sexualized, right? If you know that for you it's sexualized, fine. So then you should avoid it,
right?
But and that's what I'm telling you. I'm saying within the Sephardi community, the standard psak is, right, in many parts of the Sephardi community anyways.
In the Haredi Sephardi community also?
I think, look, like for a long time it was joke. Look, for a long time, right, for a long time in the Sephardi community, this was.
Have a Yeshivish community?
What?
Yes. Have a Yeshivish community?
They do, and I can't promise you. I'm pretty sure that Ad Hayom, there's still a level of that, right?
I'd be surprised.
Look, Raji Yosef was, look, what's accepted in Rav Avadia Yosef is not accepted in the Ashkenazi community. Right? Rav Avadia writes about himself that he listened to Kol Isha as long as it wasn't live.
Right?
Meaning, that's not something that's acceptable in the Ashkenazi community,
right?
Right? But in the Sephardi community, right, in general, there is a more of an approach that a lot more right. So I think my guess, again, I can't promise you this is true, and someone can correct me, right? My guess is that yes, because for many, many hundreds of years, right, the standard way that you know, again, even the when there was no yeshivish, non-yeshivish, but the way this, right, the sign of respect to the chacham was to kiss their hands.
The woman,
right?
Would do that?
Yes, right. That you find. Again, I'm not. I don't know if it was every chacham, but this was not like an uncommon thing, right? I remember a Syrian Talmud once came to me and he said, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, this is what everyone in my community does. This is what the Rabbanim do, right? Are they all violating Yisurim, right?
Yes, I don't think so.
And the answer is no, they're not violating Yisurim, right? This is what it's based on. Now, again, you can argue. Now, some posts can argue on the Messias. Now, again, there's two ways to argue on this. One is to say that I don't buy this whole argument that Derech Taiva, Derech Chibas Bia, right, means that, right? I think it just means affectionate, which is hard to read. It's very hard to read in the Rambam. That's one. Two is to accept a Sidrei Tara-like argument, right, which is to say, look, there's things which Rashi Midaraisa and there's things which Rashi Midarabanan, right? Again, Ramosha thinks that's not majority position Achronim. Well, there really is a third. The third is to say, maybe it's not us or it's a bad idea, right? Right, that's the third.
I think that's
right.
Well,
but
I line up
right,
between those two.
Right now, part of that is to say that I disagree with the Matthias, and I think no, people really are doing this right sexually. Right now, Ray Willig once said right that he once gave you know a shear to this. I mentioned this already. That I yeah, let me just finish this thought. Right, that he went that he gave a shear on this, and he said right that right Mikra Din, he thinks it, you know probably mutter to give a handshake. Right, his practical advice is to give a short firm handshake. That's what he right he says. He says the dead fish is insulting, right, but short and firm, right, is the right type of handshake to give. But he said the next week in camp, right, he saw all these guys and girls giving each other handshakes, and in my life I've never seen such a handshake. Right, obviously these can be misused, right, but the reality is when people are in the business world, right, we're not talking about, right, hormonally charged, irresponsible 15-year-olds, right? We're talking about a psak.
That's the issue. The psak does apply to 15-year-olds also.
No, because...
That's why
no,
it's
no,
crazy
but,
to make you these psak.
No, but that's the Amtur Shlomo's point, that if you know yourself... Now, in a chanami...
But these people aren't going to do that.
Okay, but you
that.
Can't...
Factually,
but you can't
look at the communities that allow
but
these
you can't
things, and the kids aren't doing it. They're not keeping a law.
I don't think you're
going to...
No!
Not one of them are...
Mati, this is not a modern Orthodox psak.
It's not about modern Orthodoxy.
You're telling me not one of them. Who's not one of them? No one in the Sephardi community. No one in the Monorodak community. No one in the Yekish community.
I know what the culture is in the Sephardi community.
No, listen to me. Listen to me, Mati. This is the standard psak in, yes, the Monorodak community, the Yekish community, even the Yeshivish Yekish community, yes, the Sephardi community, right? Are you telling me, the chutzpah, what you just said, that not a person in, there's three huge swaths of Judaism that you just...
I think it's been like that for a long time, but I think changing the psak or giving a new psak, allowing more content.
It's not a new psak. This has been the traditional psak in the Sephardi community, in the Monorodak community, and in the Yekish community for a very long time. The
so
Yekish community
so,
this has been the standard psak for 150 years.
Somebody will have to explain to me why this happens.
What?
Somebody will have to explain to me why this happens.
But I'm saying, in Judaism,
I mean, you just told me the story of what Rabbi Willick said, that these kids just started giving
again,
just
again, this psak isn't a modern Orthodox psak. You have a
about,
negative...
It's not about that.
Yes,
it's
it is, because
that.
you're saying not a person in the community, by which you mean the modern Orthodox community.
I do, because I don't know the other community.
Okay! In the Sephardi community, yeah. You think there's no Sephardi in the world and no Yekka in the world, or no modern Orthodox person in the world, right? Who's Shomer? It's like I'm telling you. I know you think I'm a guy, but like I'm saying, I'm joking, right? I'm saying, like I will tell you that, right? Me, you know, me Aldusi, I have been Shomer Negia, right, until the day I was married, right, right, right. I mean, and on, but I'm saying, right, right,
yeah.
But. I will shake women's hands. I will allow my aunt to give me a kiss. Right? Right?
Yeah, let me
I will.
Clarify, let me clarify.
Right? Uvda. Right? That's, you know, you can argue with me. You can tell me I'm wrong. You can tell me I'm a chote umachti as a rabbi.
No, I don't
right?
think so.
But I'm telling you this is what it's based on. Okay, let me end and then we can argue after.
Yeah,
and let people go to the Chabura. But again, I want you to explain. This is Rav Hinkan's argument is this is why it's mutter. You are saying policy-wise,
yeah.
Right? Maybe it shouldn't be. But I'm telling you, right, what I'm telling you the halachic argument I think is very sound. The policy issue is an interesting question. I don't think it's so dangerous, right? Now, maybe what Ray will learn from that is that you don't give this shear to teenagers, right? But when business people come to you, right, and they ask, right, what am I supposed to do? Right, Ray Willick says, you give a short, firm handshake, and that's it. And you know what? Most responsible adults, who, let's be very honest, right, responsible adults who keep halacha and are married and have, and therefore are engaged in a healthy sexual life, right? They don't need a short, firm handshake to find their sexual outlet in this world. Okay? It is a totally reasonable psak that it doesn't really lend itself to being misused by responsible married adults. It just doesn't.
Fair.
Right?
I think mixed wedding scenes also.
I agree with you, right, that and this is something, okay, this is my last point. I'm like, go to Zeb. Go. Right? Is that one of the dangers of the digital world, right, that Postman have talked about, is that it is much harder to issue a psak that is correct, that can be misused by the wrong people, when you know that every psak, right, is instantly accessible by the entire world. Right? The problem is that a posse can't let that freeze him and not let him ever issue any psak, right? Because at some level, you're right, it can be misused by someone, but yesh gvul to what I let that shut me down from doing, right? Yesh gvul. Now, I admit that something that is really dangerous, right? I think, Lidati, saying that handshakes are mutter is not particularly dangerous, right? Particularly dangerous. Because I don't think most of the time, right? Put it this way, there are very few people, let me put it this way, there are very few, even teenagers, who were waiting for a rabbi to say that handshakes are mutter so that they could then engage in sexualized handshakes under the cover of Rabbi Willig said it was mutter, right? I don't think there were so many people in the world. I think most of them, right, either were violating things which are much more chumra than handshakes before, right, or afterwards are still not engaged in that bizarreness, right? The number of people for whom saying that handshakes that are not sexualized are mutter is going to convince them to hide their sexually arousing handshakes behind that psak is vanishing to nothing, right?
That might be fair.
Okay, let's stop there.